is a special candlelight service. And I'm drawn to meditate on the light. What does it mean to pass the light to someone else? And one of the problems with passing light is you have to have it. If you're going to pass it to somebody else, you have to have it yourself. And so we'll turn out all the lights, and in a little while it'll be dark. And this is how the Bible describes the world, that everything before Jesus was dark. The world lay in darkness. What about Israel? Well, when it says the world, it's excluding Israel. It's not including Israel, because Israel had some light. Nevertheless, Israel's light wasn't light enough to actually set men free. Even Israel never got set free. So there's something about Jesus himself being the light. He is the light. So the light of men is, it's light compared to someone else, but the light of men is darkness compared to Jesus. So in my personal experience, I lived in darkness, even though I thought I was enlightened. And the modern world is a fight between the Bible as light and man's enlightenment. Voltaire and those smart thinkers over the years, all of whom I studied. But their light is always darkness. And the Bible just simply says that until Jesus came into the world, even the light that they have, it didn't go back to pagan times. There's no light in Rome. There's no light in Greece. There's no light in Babylon. What men call light is actually by God called darkness. So we're going to read in a minute about when Jesus came into the world, he was the light. But he was a perfect light. That's what the Bible calls true light. The others had a light, but it is not true. And one of the reasons is because if you thought that you had to be good to get the favor of God, in other words, be good to get his love, then it would be a conditional love. That is not light. But it was the best that men had until Jesus came. But the prophets had all pointed to the future and said, a light is coming. People who have sat in great darkness will see a great light. So gross darkness precedes the light. Just like tonight, it's dark. It's dark out. But just before the light comes, the darkness concentrates, and then all of a sudden it starts to go away and the light comes. Now, I don't know how better to illustrate it than the simple way I've always done, which is, you see my hand, how bright it is because it's closest to the light. But underneath my hand, if you could see it, it's dark. So the light is on the one side. Now I'm going to turn my hand over and I'm going to throw it toward the light and see if I can put the light out. It didn't work. That shows you something. That shows you that light is stronger than darkness. No matter what I do, all the darkness in the world won't put light out. Let's say I had a dark closet and the room was lighted up, and I open the closet door and all the darkness comes out and conquers the light. It's never happened. Or let's say I had a dark closet and it was dark in the room, but I lit a match. That light will conquer the darkness, but the darkness will never conquer the light. Does that make sense? So also, hatred can't conquer love. Lie can't conquer truth. So everything of God is all conquering, but nothing of man can conquer. It's interesting. In the world in which Jesus lived, they thought of God as upstairs, above us, and they thought of man as living down on earth, like his footstool. truth was never on the earth. Men sought for truth, but they never got it. So truth was upstairs. Lies were downstairs. Uncertainty was downstairs. Certainty was upstairs. Beauty was upstairs. A kind of beauty was downstairs, but it's always fading. Mercy was upstairs, but not downstairs. Bitterness was downstairs. So everything above life, remember Jesus said, I came that you might have life. It was upstairs. So when Jesus came down, he brought everything from the upstairs into the downstairs because there wasn't any light downstairs. There was no truth downstairs. There was no mercy. There was no life. Actually, men were dead, but they existed. So they had existence, but they weren't alive. Does that make sense? So everything perfect, that's another way you can say it. Everything perfect is upstairs. For example, Moses brought the law, but God gave it to him, but he brought the law from upstairs. But you know, the way he brought it was negative. He didn't bring the perfect law of liberty. He brought the imperfect law of what you shouldn't do and should do. So even the law, though it's perfect, it isn't perfected. You can tell a person all day long, do right. So that's perfect. But that doesn't make a person do it. So even though the law is good, it can't make you, it can't forgive you for one thing. And then second of all, it can't empower you to do good. So the law says, don't do wrong, but it can't help you not to do wrong. It doesn't give you any power. So everything perfect is upstairs, and when Jesus came, he said, don't think I've come to destroy the law. I haven't. I've actually come to fulfill it, to perfect it, to finish it. You couldn't finish it down here. Everything on earth is darkness. Everything on earth is lie. Everything on earth is unmerciful. Everything on earth is dead. Dead. Now, to us, we feel like we're enlightened. We feel like we're smart. We can do a lot of things. We feel. God says no. We feel like we know what truth is. We know what lie is. God says no. So your understanding of truth or of life or of light or of darkness or whatever is all wrong, says the Lord. Now, to me, I apply that to myself personally. Before I was a Christian, I thought I was fairly smart. I did well in school. I felt like I could just about be anything I wanted to be, and I could conquer any field that I attempted. And then I went to the best school. I could have gone to Harvard. I could have gone to Yale. I did go to Yale. I could have gone to, you know, three or four other great schools around the world. I had scholarships to go. So I thought, you know, I'm at the head of my game. I'm doing well. But when I met Jesus, it was over. I realized I don't know anything. And I counted everything I knew as dung. Even though I had great learning, and I was among the top. I was among the top. It didn't matter if it's high school or college or post-college, graduate work. It didn't matter what degree I was working on. I always felt like, well, I'm enlightened. But the Bible says, no, you weren't. You were darkness. That's just the opposite of what I thought. But when I became a Christian, Norma, all of a sudden, my life got really simple. I didn't have to know and understand anything. I didn't have to guess anymore. I didn't have to be uncertain anymore. Suddenly life made sense. It wasn't meaningless. I didn't know where I came from. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know why I was here. All of a sudden, all of that was over. Boy, I'm telling you, that is so wonderful. Just I'm sorry to speak personally, but for me personally, that was wonderful. I didn't have to think anymore. I didn't have to figure anything out. I didn't have to ask any questions. I had no more questions. Because I knew now God has all the answers. And that is so peaceful. That's so peaceful. Esther, if you ever get a hold of that, it'll just set you free. Because Jesus knows everything. Isn't that powerful? You don't have to think about anything. You don't even have to do well in school. But what you do have to do is you have to stay close to Jesus. And he tells you to go to school. So you need to go to school. But what you really need is to know that Jesus has all the answers. At any rate, I had no truth until I met Jesus. A Peggy can tell you because our marriage was in the middle of that. I married her before I was a Christian. I was not a Christian. And then she saw over the years the change in my life. And that's powerful. Not that I'm perfect, but all of a sudden sin no longer controlled me like it did beforehand. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because if you've actually got life in you, you don't want to be in darkness anymore. Now, that doesn't mean you won't. It just means it won't hold you. You see it, the Holy Spirit convicts you, and then you want to change. You don't want to stay that way. So this truth really set me free. Jesus set me free. Not just because the Bible said it. I personally experienced that. So I believe Jesus Christ did come downstairs from heaven and brought truth and light and life and joy and peace and all those things that were not on the earth. So this is a very powerful invasion. Excuse me. It changed everything in this world for me, personally. But I believe it changed it for everybody. I don't believe the world can ever be the same again. There's no possibility that Jesus will fail and that somehow the Hindus will take over or the Muslims or anybody. It's not going to happen. This kingdom of God that he's building is everlasting. And I don't really care how many people are in or not in. I'm only concerned about myself making sure I'm in. And it isn't hard work for me at all. It's just that I want to make sure I'm in that kingdom. Because I don't believe any longer in darkness. I don't believe any longer in lies. I'm no longer addicted. I'm no longer troubled. I'm no longer confused, meaningless. Everything makes sense all of a sudden. Everything. I understand all things because it's in the Bible. Jesus has made it known. Now, the logos is the same as the word word. So logos is the Greek word for word. Enarche, in the beginning. In archaeology, in the beginning. Enarche, ein, was hologos, the word. Now when the Greek says hologos, it means the word and there is no other word. It doesn't just mean the word, but there might be another one. It means this is the word. So the word of God is in the beginning with God. God, from the very beginning, before there even was a world, the word always was there. In the beginning, enarche en ho logos. En ho logos, and the word, kai en ho logos, and the word, kai ho logos, en proston theon, was with God. So that word that was up in the beginning used to not be down here, was upstairs, with God. But when that word became flesh and dwelt among us, it came downstairs. And that was the first time. Even though the Jews spoke of the light, they could not live it. They could not produce it. They could not execute it. They could not pull it off. All they could do is some outward, what they called, shadows and types. So, did they have faith? Yes. But they had faith in something coming, the Messiah. They themselves never were able to realize God's purpose. Why? Because the law cannot bring any man to perfection. The law, the letter of the law, kills. But the spirit of the law gives life. So when the law is perfected by Jesus, you remember when he died on the cross, he perfected that law. Because now he died for all of our sins. But until he gave you the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, you didn't have any ability. You could be forgiven, but you still were going to sin. Now, once that light came into the world, I understood for the first time, oh, then I can't do the good work. And he will forgive me. Now, that was a new light. And then he'll help me through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was another light. I didn't have either of those lights. I didn't have that truth. So truth came downstairs for the first time to realize, I can't do what the law tells me to do. The law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace is mercy, Savior, and power, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So grace is mercy plus power plus truth. All of that was upstairs. None of that was downstairs. Do you see how important? In other words, the time is not important here. What's important is that he did come. We know approximately the time. Well, we don't have to know exactly the time. It's not important. We know approximately. We know roughly it's about 3 or 4 BC, probably 4 BC. It doesn't matter, though. What's important is to realize why he came. Because you didn't have any truth. You didn't have any life. You didn't have any light. You didn't have any joy. You didn't have any peace. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. You didn't have any. There was no goodwill down here. You say, well, the Jewish people had... They had the Old Testament. Yeah, I know, but they never pulled it off. They were told what to do, but they didn't have any. They had to kill bulls and goats continually just to survive, but they didn't have that sacrifice once for all. And thank God that our human wisdom, won't get us very far in this world. But wise men still seek Jesus. People that truly have wisdom are still looking for the Lord Jesus Christ, and they found him as a baby. So when he came in this manger, the reason he came was to be a king. He came to be a king. But in order to be a king, he had to first go to this cross. He could not see the crown on top of that cross. That crown was not a king's crown. But they put that crown on his head to mock him. Hail, King of the Jews. But actually, that's what he wanted. He did not want the crown. He wanted the cross. He said, before I can become a king, I have to suffer. I want to. So that was a funny king. No king has ever done that. No king has ever wanted to suffer first. But a king that really loves his people, if his people are in trouble, that king will say, I'm not going to let the people be in trouble. I'm going to take their trouble. That would be a good king. That's the truth. That's the light. That's the joy. Imagine a people who are in deep trouble, but their king said, tell the people to relax. I'll pay for it. I'll take care of it. I'll suffer. I'll make sure that they're happy while I'll take care of everything. That would be a great king. That's what Jesus did. He was born to die, knowing that death would not be the last word, that afterward the Father would say, now I know you're a worthy king, and all mankind knows it. This is love. Love doesn't put any burden on the people, even though they sinned, even though they deserved it. This Jesus said, Father, I don't want them to suffer for what they've done. Let me bear that. What a gift. That is the best present you could ever receive. To hear the truth that says, you can't be good, you don't have to be good, you can't be good. Jesus is good for you, not only to forgive you, but then he gives you the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that was in him, so that he could do the good works. Now you can do the same good works he did. So you have no excuse now. Somebody say, well, I'm not Jesus. Yeah, but you have the same Holy Spirit. You have exactly the same Holy Spirit. So even though you're not Jesus, you actually have no reason why you can't walk with him and talk with him and be like him. You say, well, I can't do all the things he did. Well, he said greater things than what I've done, you'll do. That's what he said. So the church in our day has not understood Christmas yet. It doesn't just get the timing wrong. I think it's got the meaning wrong, the why he came. He did not come just so you'd believe in him. He didn't come just to be our king, because if he would have been a king right away and not gone to the cross, we'd still be in our sins. He'd be a king and he'd have to lock us all up or something. But the first thing he did was not sit on a throne. The first thing he did was remove the sin off of the people. Oh, that is a good king. That is the best present this world could ever know. Then he told us the whole truth. Here's the truth. I never expected you to be good. I always wanted you to turn to me, and I would give you a free present. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. Because this is grace. This is grace and truth. Let me tell you the truth. Let me give you some grace. Well, that's what we needed, because Moses didn't give us that. Moses did not give us grace and truth. The Old Testament teaching did not give us grace and truth. So we got that through Jesus. That baby that was born to die so that he could rise again. And then what could he do? He would go up to heaven and pour out the Holy Spirit, and we would have truth and light and life and joy and peace. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Now tonight, we're going to celebrate this teaching. Simple teaching, but very profound, that the truth has come. So when we light our candles, that's like the truth that I've been given. Jesus is the truth. I share. The light that we've been given, Jesus is the light, we share. He said, when men see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. Your good works are like light to the world that they can finally see. Oh, what you just did, that's what I was supposed to do. See, people can see by your joy what they were supposed to live like. Do you know that most people in the world don't live joyfully? They live in fear. There's no fear in heaven. Perfect love casts out fear. There's no fear in heaven. There's no misery in heaven. There's no unhappiness in heaven. There's no confusion in heaven. There's no darkness in heaven. Everything in heaven is perfect. There's no perfection on earth except what Jesus brought. And he brought it to you and me. I'll tell you, that changed my life, Norma. That changed my life. I actually believe I know the perfect truth. I know exactly why he came, why he had to go this way and get this cross and this crown first before he gets the other crown. I would not have gone that way. That's why I was in darkness. I didn't know that truth. He taught me the gospel, the good news. That's why I can forgive anybody, including myself, anything that I've ever done or said. Now, you're not yet perfected, and I'm not yet perfected. I know that. But I also know, he said, I'm coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Well, there may be some spots and wrinkles on me. So what am I going to do? What if he came tonight? Would I have spots and wrinkles? No. Because I say to him, Jesus, forgive me for all my sins. And if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I can be without spot, and I can stay that way. I don't have to live in fear, condemnation, depression, or guilt. I don't have to live that way. Fear he has banished. It's gone. The power of sin and the guilt of sin are gone. That's actually true in my life. Now, that doesn't mean I don't sin. I still do. But the Holy Spirit convicts me. I hear it. I believe it. I submit to it. And I declare it to others. That is the kingdom. Excuse me, that Jesus came to do. So he was a king. He actually did come as a king. But after the cross. And that's when I received him, after the cross, after his death, burial, resurrection, ascension on high. I received him as king when he sent the Holy Spirit, not when he died on the cross. I received him as Savior when he died on the cross, but he didn't become my king until Pentecost. That's very interesting, because a lot of churches don't teach the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They don't realize that the whole New Testament is about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The whole point of the New Testament is not that Jesus was born or that he died and suffered for you. It's that he died and he was born and then lived his life and died and suffered for you in order to be your Lord and change you into his likeness. Now, you're being changed by faith, which is active in love, and that's the good works that convicts the rest of the world. When they see our good works, they're not convicted by our preaching. Preaching will not perfect anyone. I'm going to say that again. Preaching will not perfect anyone. You can't get sin out of your life by teaching. Teachings will not get sin out of your life. Guilt, yes, but not the power of sin. The only way you can get rid of the power of sin in your life is what? The only way you can get rid of the power of sin in your life. This baby that was born, who then lived his life and then died and then was buried and then resurrected and then ascended into heaven, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Even though I'm going, I'm not going to go for long. I'll send back the Holy Spirit, and it'll be my Spirit. And I'll be in you, and this time make room for me. Right? Because last time, he came to his own people, and what did they do? They didn't make any room for him. They said, well, you know, even though you're a relative, and even though she's pregnant, this is our room. We put a down payment on it, and we're staying. Yeah, but I'm from Bethlehem too, and it's not a big city, and there's not a lot of hotel rooms here. There isn't. In fact, there's no rooms left. Couldn't you, in light of the fact that we're relatives, and I'm a young girl, and it's my first baby, couldn't you give up your room or make some room for us? No. That's amazing. Isn't that amazing? So, tonight, we've made a different decision. I've decided I want Jesus to rule in my life, and my light that I now have, I want to share with others. I want them to know the truth. I want them to have the joy. I want them to have the peace. Amen? So that's that present that was given at Christmas, that first Christmas, that present is still giving. It's still giving. So when you get a present, what do? Well, do we have any presents here? We don't. But when you get a present, the first thing you do is it's wrapped. And might have a bow on it. I'll use this Kleenex box. But the wrapping and the bow is not the present. That's just how it looks. A lot of people, when Jesus was given, saw a baby and they didn't see that he was God. They didn't see that he was truth. They didn't see that he had life in him. They didn't see the joy in him. They didn't see anything. They just saw a baby and they said his wrapping makes him not look like he's the Son of God. The wrapping, it looks like he's just an ordinary baby. How can this baby be anything unusual? Because Jesus came quietly and nobody understood how great he was. Does anyone understand how great you are? Do they see you or do they see the wrapping? And a lot of times a little child, I think probably Esther was like this when she was younger, she might get all excited about the bow and not even get the present. You know, and she might love the wrapping and the bow and then just throw the box away, even though it had something in it. Because little kids will do that sometimes. Ooh, it's a pretty bow. And they'll start playing with the bow. Sometimes little kids get fooled like that and not realize that the present inside is more valuable than the wrapping on the outside. We didn't know who Jesus was because we were darkness. We had no life. We had no truth. We were under lies. We were addicted to things in this world. We were controlled by forces that were not from heaven. But once I understood the truth, the light went on inside of me. I was free. The truth will set me free. The truth will set you free. So now that light has come into the world, and you now know that in that present, sometimes I give a present to, and I'm going to do this tomorrow, actually. I give a present, and I'll wrap it knowing they'll think this is their present. But sometimes I'll put a $100 bill in the wrapping, in the tissue paper, and they'll take the present, which is insignificant, and they'll thank me because they think that's the only present they got. Well, yeah, thanks, Dad. Socks are nice. And they won't realize that I hid inside of it something more than meets the eye. You see what I mean? I love doing that. I'm going to do that tomorrow with David. He had asked me for something, and I told him I probably couldn't afford that. So he doesn't think he's going to get it. And then when he gets the present I give him, he'll be surprised. Oh, an undershirt. Thank you, Dad. And it's a nice undershirt, but still, it's an undershirt. And then I gave him a couple little tools, real small ones, maybe $6, you know, tools. And so he'll thank me. And he'll think that's all he's going to get. But actually, I got him exactly what he wants. Why? Because I love him, right? God's the same. When he sent Jesus, you didn't know that truth was in there, mercy, power, life, joy, kindness. It wasn't in the earth. What men called mercy wasn't. What men called truth wasn't. What men called light wasn't. I'll tell you, for me personally, this truth changed my life. Jesus coming into the world. When? I don't know. But that he came, and why he came, I understood. It was to set me free, to give me that truth. Now I want you to receive. When you're given a present, you unwrap it, you look at the present, you have to receive it. So it says, everyone that received him was given the power to become a child of God. You have to receive it. So you hear, because someone will, they'll have your name written on it. It'll say, let's see, Jim. And then it'll be handed to me, because my name is Jim. They'll say, this is for you. So I see the present, but it's wrapped. I don't know what's on the inside. And then they'll say my name. This is for you, Jim. Okay, now I've heard and I've seen something. That's where faith comes from, right? Faith comes from hearing. So what God is saying is, Jim, this present is for you, and I'll receive it, as many as received him, as many as believed, received. So you have to believe him, you have to hear it, then believe it, then receive it, and then you submit to it. In other words, what's ever in here, let's say I opened it up, and what I find inside is a rod and a staff to comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort you. A rod is to discipline me. Oh, I don't want any rods. I'd like to get the staff. The staff is an instruction. It's for keeping sheep in line and keeping them protected. So that's your instruction. Well, I'll take the instruction, but I don't want the spanking. But actually, that's how you learn through difficulty. I can guarantee you that you did not learn just from the Bible. Now, if you only have the trouble, you won't learn anything. But if you have the trouble based on the promise, here, this is for you, and then I take it, and it's got trouble inside. But if the trouble comes from the Father who's good, who loves me, who's perfect, who can't do any darkness, then I'll take it because I realize the Father that loves his Son chastens him. So I'll go through the trouble, and I'll realize, well, I don't want this trouble. But actually, the trouble is a blessing because I can't get rid of the power of sin without the trouble. You don't learn just by teachings. I've told this church for years, don't sin. It doesn't help. Even though I've told them, don't sin, it doesn't help. Did you know that you have to learn the hard way? So a lot of times you go through trouble because you think, I'll do it my own way. I'm not going to sin big. I'm just going to sin medium. Okay, you can do what you want, but God said, don't sin at all. And if you obey him, people will hate you. I think you were saying that, John, or whatever. Your own family's going to hate you, and you're trying to help them. Your relatives. You know, they're going to hate you. But you know what? If you take the rod, it's always followed by the staff. As soon as you go through the trouble, the Holy Spirit will be right there because he said he'd never leave you. He'll immediately guide you, pull you back from the trouble with that crook. He's got that crook right. Oh, 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 my little sheep is going to get in trouble there. And so trouble only destroys flesh but never touches spirit. Only destroys flesh, never touches spirit. Oh, that is so good to know. Well, therefore, I'll submit to that. If I know that my Father in heaven gave me this present, I'll submit to it First of all, I heard, then I believed, then I received, then I submitted to it. And when that's done, I'll go and declare to the whole world, God is good. This was the truth. You know what happened? I hated it, but it's turned out to be the best thing ever happened to me. I got so close to God. I'm glad I had all those problems now, because now I see this has blessed me. Isn't this true? That your greatest teachings come when you're in the valley, not when you're on the mountaintop. That's how you're matured. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. The Father who loves his Son chastens him. Now, all of these teachings are so important because we need to realize that Jesus is not only bearing the cross for me, but he wants me to take up my own cross. That's the rod. He wants me to be disciplined, discipled, trained, taught. There's where the hard part. I don't know why, but the church has trouble on that one. It's like, well, I'd like to have the present without the trouble. But you can't get a present without trouble. The trouble always comes. In the world, you have trouble. It's in the world. But in the world, you have trouble. If you actually become happy, do you know the world will hate you? You know that when you're happy, the world doesn't like it. You know, you'd think they'd be happy that you're finally happy. They actually were happy when you were miserable. They don't want you to be free. They don't want you to have the truth. They don't want you to have the light. They don't want you to have life in yourself. They actually resent, they're jealous of you, and they resent you. They don't want to hear it. Your own relatives, and they won't make room for you. Do y'all know what I'm saying? Do y'all know what I'm saying? So, but I'll tell you what, Monica, you know what I'm talking about. When you go through the hell and the trouble and the difficulty, it always comes out, you win. Even though at the time it's difficult. And the Lord sends us through those things because he loves us. Amen? That's the only way you'll learn. You say, well, I could learn without the trouble. No, you can't. Nobody ever has. Even Jesus went through the trouble. Even Jesus. I mean, if anybody could learn without going through it, it would be Jesus. But even he went through the cross to show his love. And it not only didn't hurt him, it was the key to his kingdom. It was the key. This is the key, through the cross. That's why we exalt the cross. Because he came as a baby at Christmas time to be the king. But before he was king, he had to be Savior to prove that he was worthy to be king. All right, we're going to now share the light. We're going to share the light. So I'm going to read one more time this scripture. In the beginning was the Word. Remember, the Logos? And that Word was with God, and that Word was God. So that Word that came on the earth actually was God. The Word that came down on earth actually was God. Jesus was not just a man. He was God. Isn't that amazing? What a gift. I didn't recognize him when I saw the wrapping. He didn't look like God. But God said, that was my son. He didn't look like your son. He looked like us. That's how love did it. Love did it deliberately that way. He was in the beginning with God. Everything came into being through him. You came into being through him. Everything that is in this world. And without him, not one thing came into being apart from him. So how could anything be anything without him who made everything? How could you say, well, I'm going to be something without him? You couldn't. So you have to know him as truth. You have to have heaven. Earth cannot exist without heaven. Earth has to have heaven. Heaven is how we got here. What has come into being in him was life. And the life that was in him was the light of the world. All the people in the world today, every single person that comes into the world, either has the light of Jesus or they're in darkness. If they're a good Hindu, they're still in darkness. If they're a good Muslim, they're still in darkness. All the light of the whole world was in him. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. It's amazing. In other words, Buddha doesn't have any light. The Muslims, they have no light. It doesn't matter what the world is saying. Oh, they're a religion of peace and so on. I don't believe any of those words. They don't even know what peace means. I don't believe any of those words. I understand what they're saying. I don't believe it because the Bible says otherwise. So therefore, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that everyone might believe. All might believe. All. That means Buddhists, witchcraft people, Satanists. All might believe. That's why John came to bear witness to the light so that everybody could believe. He himself was not the light. So he said, I'm not the light. But he came to testify to the light, the true light, not the false light, which enlightens everyone who was coming into the world. He was in the world, the light, and the world came into being through him, but the world that he created didn't even recognize him, and yet he was the creator. His fingerprint is on everything and everybody. You are made in his image, in his likeness, and yet you don't even recognize him. That shows darkness. That shows you have no life. That shows you're completely, and that's why he had to come. He had to come into the world to say, they need a present. They need a gift. They don't deserve it, but I want them to have it. That's what Christmas is. Christmas is that. So let's light our candles now because this word has become flesh. And we're going to hand this candle out to others. In other words, the light that's in this candle.